Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 173, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah!
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Friday, February 26th,
Friday.
2021. My 3-year-old's birthday. Yeah, are you joining the podcast now? Ramsey is here. My 4-year-old is here.
Ramsey!
My 2-year-old's turning 3 today. It's all happening. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Woohoo! We're gonna host it. We're gonna host. When you are down, we'll bring the sound. Woohoo! You already know it. Already know. The mornings will start by making you smart. Ooh. And talking about farts. That is courtesy of Chrissy Yamaguchi, man. Had to add that last part. He was making a sound too first rate.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, it's Miles Gray straight out of the San Fernando Valley. The legendary Blasian Hideo Noho is in the building. Thank you so much. To my mind, I was an AKA that came to me in a dream, which was wild because it felt like the lowest hanging fruit ever that I was talking about with some of my friends about this pun. But shout out to Hideo Nomo. For people who don't know, Nomo, the Japanese baseball pitcher who came through the Dodgers, number 16.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then Noho, shorthand for North Hollywood. My hometown, home ground. So
I thought you said that on yesterday's episode.
I kept talking about it.
You said something subconsciously and then it made it into your dream world.
No, I did mention how I changed my display name to Hideo Noho, but I didn't come out with it to say, here I am, y'all. Hideo Noho in your face.
Yes. Get it tatted. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Mr. Dave Schilling.
Dave.
Hello, guys. Hey.
Hi.
Did you hear my sound effect that I did for myself?
I loved it.
I think it was cool.
That was like chicken air horn.
Cool. I should have said dapper too, because Dave always brings it. Dave is always looking so good.
We spent 15 minutes deciding whether or not we should just have him not put video on, because you're dressed like Mahershala Ali's stylist or some shit, with your nice turtleneck on.
I like that I'm not dressed like Mahershala Ali. I'm dressed like his employee, which is
fine.
Well,
no, no, I mean, you're dressed like the person he relies on to look good. That's what's implied there. Because if you have us, that means you can't dress your damn self. You know what I mean? So that's what I meant. It wasn't an employee-employer relationship I was indicating.
Listen, you know, we're all here for the worker. We're all you know, leftists who care about the rights of workers. And Mahershala Ali's stylist should be in a union.
Yeah.
There, I said it.
What is your... First of all, Dave, what... Your drip... If people follow you on Twitter, things have... I've seen you just turn into a superhero before my eyes with some of your outfits. They're so tough.
I've leveled up a little bit. Yeah.
It's up where you got the ankles showing, got the linen pants.
All right. Well, I'm gonna give some secrets out. Number one, you got to get on the Real. It's an app. It's got tons of consignment luxury clothing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now this is, I don't want to.
Our household is a big supporter of the Real.
Good. I don't want to blow up the spot completely, but. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons why this app is got so many amazing grails and just crazy like Prada, Gucci and stuff that's like super cheap is because so many people are dying.
Vintage pieces
are dying.
You're like, suddenly there's an influx of Gucci from the 80s and 70s.
Yeah, what is happening? Yeah, it's just a bunch of rich people in Beverly Hills falling over in their swimming pool. It's very sad. But
and here we are to feast on their leavings.
Your boy is reaping the benefits.
Their leavings.
The second thing I want to shout out is GQ writer Rachel Tashjian has an invite-only newsletter called Opulent Tips, which if you don't read GQ, you don't read Rachel, you should. You should try to get on the mailing list for this newsletter because she has the best recommendations for everything from, like, the best plates to buy to where to get the most fire Johns in the whole world. So you got to find Rachel. She's at The Profit Pizza on Twitter.
When I look at you, Dave, you're wearing a beautiful vintage Armani sport coat. You know what I mean? I don't even. Mm-hmm. I won't even deign to assume what that material is on your neck and upper body.
Oh, this is a mock neck. I'm not going to say what it's made of.
Okay,
that'd be gauche.
Yeah, we know, but I think I can clock it through the Zoom. I know what's up there. But like, part of me, I get stressed out when I see people dress so well because I'm so sloppy and like high, and I spill shit on myself, and I don't have my spatial awareness is bad sometimes when I wear clothing. Like I'm like, oh man, I would fuck that outfit up and. Fucking 2 minutes.
I'm wearing white pants right now. White pants. In 2021.
Are they covered in?
Me out.
Are they covered in ramen spackle? Ramen spatter? Because that's a. I don't understand that marinara at least a little bit. A little.
Busted these out just for this show.
Well, damn. Yeah.
If you don't see them at all, I feel better.
Yeah, I love it. I mean,
we might have to introduce a video component just in case Dave shows up.
I know. We need that like E red carpet, like 360
3D.
cam.
The Manny Petty box.
Right,
have you seen that?
Where
you
put your hands exactly.
In it? But it's my feet. So you can see what the kicks are.
Why not? Damn. You know, and I just, but also Jack and I have to do it too. So just the juxtaposition of like someone really well dressed and then our slovenly outfits. I love it.
Looks
like
Jack's bare ass feet that haven't been clipped in days.
Looks like Jack's Nike ankle socks are wearing out a little more at the heel.
Looks
so
like
that's
got a
the
hole
latest
there.
Development.
I guess a Kate Middleton of sorts in that he's worn that same pair of socks 5 times in a row now on camera. But
you can't
Dave, you
smell
seem
them
like,
so much. But, it's
Dave,
not
you
great.
Seem like the sort of guy who, when his socks get a hole in them, he throws them out. Is that accurate?
No, actually. Socks are the one place where I completely don't give a shit. I'm just like, nobody's gonna
weird?
See. Yeah. No one cares. I wear a lot of like no-show socks.
Yeah, me too.
I wear loafers instead of sneakers or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I will ride with a sock until it basically can't hold my foot anymore.
Until it's an anklet.
Yeah, that's right.
That is the next place where I'm going to upgrade my life and become more of a classy person is socks.
Oh, I can't handle it. Don't do it to me like that, Dave.
All right, Dave, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell the people a few of the things we're talking about. We are going to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Goebbels. He appeared on Laura Ingraham's show and had some interesting things to say. So we'll listen to him. Yeah, he's sensitive now. He's gone sensitive on us. We are going to talk about Trump's tax returns. We're going to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. We're going to talk about the crypto art world. We're going to talk about Lady Gaga's dog napping. More importantly, our dog walker was shot 4 times. I feel like that's being undercovered a little bit from her side. So we'll talk about all that. Plenty more. But first, Dave, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I just yesterday evening looked up how to complain to FedEx if your packages get lost. I was talking about this on Twitter because it was really distressing. I was supposed to get a jacket, a blazer from Paris, and it was supposed to be delivered yesterday, and it was just sitting at the sort facility in Los Angeles. Like, I could just go over there right now in my car, just drive over there and say, you have my package. Here's my ID. Give me my jacket. No, I got to keep waiting. But now it's available for pickup at the Walgreens on 6th in Vermont. So when this is over, I am jetting over there to that Walgreens and asking for my jacket.
Oh, you get your blazers from Walgreens too?
Cool. Yes,
so that makes me feel better.
Yeah, let me see the inner label of that jacket real quick. Just as I thought. CVS, of course.
They have it with the like knockoff reading glasses.
What are those called? Foster Browns?
Yeah. Right.
Whatever those.
Amazing outfit. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, the weather fucked a lot of things up, especially for the FedEx hub and was in Memphis.
Yeah.
So that fucked up a lot of stuff. I was trying to get some recording equipment that I just couldn't wait for any longer for. So, I mean, it wasn't even shipped, but like just that delay, the weather there, the ramifications. And I mean, fuck all the vaccine that FedEx was trying to figure out where to get it. Get this man's jacket to him.
Give me
FedEx.
My Johns, you fucks.
What the fuck?
Let me make it clear, though. The people who work for FedEx and UPS and USPS are heroes. They work super hard for not enough money. The Amazon workers who deserve to unionize and deserve, you know, actual real wages and proper treatment and health insurance and all those things. Like, it's not your fault. I'm not complaining about the service. I'm complaining about my own need to have clothes in my closet, which I don't need. So let's just say this is a total waste of time, and I am a selfish person, and I'm sorry to all the postal workers for complaining at all.
Full
circle.
You
don't deserve my shit.
Full circle.
What is something you think is underrated?
Getting dressed in the morning. This is going to be a theme for today. Get dressed in the morning. I don't know if the last time I was on here I said the same thing, but I'm going to say it again if I did. Get dressed in the morning. I have a rolling rack. It is filled with clothes. Whatever is going on this season is going to be out on the rolling rack. Everything that I'm not wearing because it's out of season is in the closet. So I just go through in the morning, peel through each thing, think about what I'm going to wear with what thing, what shoes I'm going to wear. I do this every morning. And my brain works better. I've been more productive than I've ever been in my whole life when I started this routine of getting dressed every morning. So
how long have you been doing this? How long have you been on this?
Since quarantine.
At the start of quarantine, you're like, I'm going to resolve to still do the thing of put clothes on. Man, yep. The second, like, we were like, okay, so we can't come to the office Monday. I was like, goodbye clothes.
I've done.
No, hello, robes.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna make this a project for myself. Sure. And I did like a fit pick every day for the month of April.
Right.
And then I thought I'm gonna keep doing this whenever I want and buying clothes and like thinking about clothes in an even more serious way than I did before.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's stressful and annoying to think about what to wear every day. But for me, it's like putting a puzzle together.
Yeah. Right. Whatever works for you.
A puzzle that makes me look fucking great.
Yeah. Most of the time, I'm just in looks that are puzzling.
The fuck?
Huh. Yeah, like, huh? Interesting. Wow. Four seasons total landscaping shirt underneath a Lakers jersey?
Huh. Where'd you get that Suncoast motion picture?
Exactly.
Wow. They're still around?
Yeah. Oh, man. Shout out to the one at CityWalk. They used to have the props from Time Cop in it.
The legends.
Woo. Wow. What is something you think is overrated?
Sweatpants.
Oh, come on.
What the fuck is this now?
Now you're pissed. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. Comfort is important to people. But I've found clothes that are comfortable that also look good. Like, stop with the sweatpants. They're the sign of an inactive mind, a decaying, atrophying brain.
You're getting soft,
America.
You're getting a little over ahead of your Margellas, sir. This is sweatpants. Look, I think the difference is there is a certain amount of like mental bandwidth I can devote to what I will be wearing on my body, and so this is me personally. When I would go in the before times, there's a little bit of ego wrapped in because you're communicating to the world. This is who I am with my clothing. And then as the pandemic hit and that became just such a minor thing for me, the focus became do not be naked.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's really where I'm at. But, you know, that's for you. And if you think they're overrated, I get it. Mista, he's a fashionista.
I'm just trying to help people as we start to emerge from quarantine and begin reasserting ourselves in the world. You're gonna have to stop wearing those fucking sweatpants.
I don't know.
All the time.
I think we just did a story about how architecture is gonna change post pandemic.
I think we're joggers. Joggers are the new suit pants.
I think we may have fucked up fashion forever with COVID.
I 100% disagree. I think there's always going to be people who are going to dress up.
Oh, and not like
either
that.
Oh, for sure.
Either be
not
one
like
of those
that.
People or be in sweatpants. That's your choice. Choose. For Choose sure. if you are going to stand out from the crowd or if you're going to be one of the sheep.
Mm.
You want to be a sheep?
Wow.
I'm no sheep.
Oh, no, sir. A sheep I am not, although this is fleece that I have worn on my body.
These sweatpants are cashmere, thank you.
Yeah.
See, if I had that shit immediately, I would probably drop a blunt in the middle of the crotch and they would fucking incinerate. And I'd be like, this is why I just need to wear like garbage bags.
Mm. Do we think like jeans are neither high end nor are they comfortable? Do we think jeans are going to come back?
Yeah, Dave, what's your take on it? Because you come with some scathing take. So where does denim pants
fit? This is a great question. I don't like jeans.
Right. Nobody really likes jeans. I feel like it was just like a thing where, I mean, like just in terms of
dislike jeans.
I guess I don't dislike them, but
you mean
like
we defaulted to them.
Yeah, I feel like we defaulted to them because they were just like acceptable and were worn with everything. And now that we've broken through to joggers being something that you can wear with anything, I wonder if they will replace the jean.
I think jeans were always the crutch for people who wanted to be comfortable,
right,
but didn't want to be, you know, in their pajamas.
Right.
So, jeans were the casual Friday clothing option that everybody loved. And now that there is no such thing as casual Friday, every day is casual Friday.
Right, right.
Why wear jeans? But jeans are always going to be popular with skate kids. Mm-hmm. Jeans are always
ravers.
Going to be popular with ravers, exactly. Carpenters, various people who work with lathes. Like, jeans are always going to be around. But when I think about jeans, I think about, in my head, some guy, some 50-year-old dad with his polo shirt tucked into
Kirkwood
signature jeans. I think about my dad.
It's the wash, though, too. You know what I mean? Because there's that very standard, my old trusty Wranglers, tone of blue that, you know, might as well be a Blue Lives Matter rally as pants.
All be wearing.
There's a big blue stripe down the back of your jeans.
Like the old Avizus that used to have like the designs on, but just a big blue line.
I mean, the way fashion was headed before the pandemic, we might all be wearing shirts tucked into our jeans because of, you know, the dad shoes, the dad hats, everything.
The kids look, and this is three washed old guys talking about fashion, but every time I've been out and I see like, you know, the Zoomer kids out there, I'm like, man, y'all are dressing like me when I was 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
That's the flex. I'm like, well, let me go to my mother's garage real quick because I will stunt on y'all in my World Industries or a hookup skate tee.
Right. All right. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And yeah, let's talk about it. This was kind of a nice blast from the past. The past being a month ago when Donald Trump was president and this motherfucker was still in power. You know, yes, we have issues with Biden's many of Biden's policies and the job he's doing. But this this put me back to where I was a mere month ago.
And this is like mental, not even gymnastics, like it's like mental parkour. What this fucking man is doing. So here we go. Yes, Biden comparatively much better than Trump comparatively. You can't argue that.
Not at all.
That's like the whole, that's how he won the election. Be like, look, you put us next to each other, I edge him out basically by a little bit. So what are we doing here, folks? Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. This man, you know, he's been in office. He's been trying to dismantle many of the fucked up policies that Donald Trump left us. Policies that we have called inhumane, cruel, totally fucked.
Yes.
But then, like some kind of fucked up clockwork, Teenage Mutant Ninja Goebbels himself, Stephen Miller, comes out the fucking shadows to go to on Laura Ingraham's hate hoedown. And he must have sprayed on the wrong hair on his head today. He must have put the snowflake hair on today because just listen to how this man is just, he is alarmed with this current administration's immigration policy.
What we are seeing here is the cruelty and inhumanity of Joe Biden's immigration policies. He came into office and announced that there's an open door and that young people who come into this country illegally are going to be resettled instead of returned. He is forcing thousands of young children into the arms of smugglers.
So, yes, he is. This is the cruelty and right. the inhumanity.
My question is, does he, like, he's obviously being, like, cartoonishly disingenuous, but, like, does he know, does he think his audience knows that and it's a bit where he's, like, just trying to dramatically weaponize the criticisms of the Trump administration against the Biden administration? Like, he can't honestly think that people who are watching Laura Ingraham's show are like, yes, be kinder. Well, what's wrong with y'all?
I think it's not, because it's all just an outrage football that we pass back and forth. And so they work better with in possession of the outrage football, even though their policy, like, you know, he didn't say a single thing that would improve the conditions for anybody. That's how I'd be like, but do you remember what I did? And he was trying to make, using words like safe or whatever. No, motherfucker, it was pure chaos. It was a humanitarian crisis at the border because of you.
I think it's also a concerted effort by the Republican Party to co-opt the messaging and the language of the left. If they just say exactly what liberals say about conservatives, it renders everything complete gibberish. And no one can understand anything or care about anything because there is no line. There is no truth. It is just a big rhetorical soup that we all are forced to eat every day that is full of lies and garbage. That's all that it is. He can say, oh, this is inhumane, this is wrong, this is evil, when we were saying that 3 years ago about Trump. When Democrats say Trump and the Republican Party is authoritarian, now they can say it about liberals, that they're authoritarian for wanting to have trans people allowed to share the same rights that we have. That to them is authority. If they just use the words that we use, then they are rendered meaningless.
Yeah. And there's also this element of, like, you know, just denial, that group denial that they all have to participate in. And to come out just sort of like unequivocally and use these words helps completely forget, like, what was going on when Trump was in power too. Because that's like, it's just sort of this thing where I think the reason, it's not that he thinks he's being smart. It's just a group of people, you know, like when you're in, like, out of college and you're still drinking a lot and you're trying to figure out, like, do I drink a lot? And, like, we all drink a lot still. But then it's like, nah, man, we're young, man. We're young, right, man. We're just partying. This, like, sort of the same sort of, like, let's not think too much about it. And then Stephen Miller's one be like, nah, we're good, baby. We're partying, man. Like, this is inhumane, baby. And that allows
another line. Yeah, come on. That, it's fun.
That allows everybody else to be like, right. Yeah, it wasn't that. But yeah, this was bad. It just sort of, it helps by just putting all the focus there. It just, you know, the last thing they want is self-awareness. And it seems more than anything, they're incapable of it. It's hard to know, like, which part Stephen Miller's on. But yes, he knows what he's doing and he doesn't care because he's a fucking goon.
I mean, yeah, but, like, since high school, his thing has been inhumane immigration policy. Like, that was his, he would stand up at assemblies and say, like, racist shit against the,
saying, like, the janitors need to speak English or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's been him. That's his whole brand. So I gotta feel like he's doing this, like, with a wink to his Nazi fans, like, no, I can say that too, type thing. Like, just,
yeah.
It's trolling. It's just trolling.
That's
what I feel like it is. I know you are, but what am I?
Right.
That is all the Republican Party is now, is what you think we are, you actually are.
Right.
And so you're wrong and we're right. Like, that's it. It's pathetic. It's empty. And it is the most dangerous part of their entire strategy.
Yeah, because it's a lot of energy in a direction without much, like, purpose.
Yep.
But that's the thing. They're moving.
They don't want the country to change.
Yeah.
They don't want it to get better. They don't want to pass legislation. They don't want to govern What they want to do is obstruct and demean and demoralize their enemies.
Do you think, because I mean, there's no real long-term plan. Like, do you think, like, in a conservative's head, it's like, yeah, man, like, fuck that. And they'll be so pissed off and triggered that they can't get anything done that they'll leave America and then it'll be all ours. Like, right. I'm not. What's the end game, guys?
There is no end game.
Because motherfuckers aren't leaving. So
there's no end game.
Like, that's where I'm like, think. I mean, if y'all really want something, like, just pause for a second and think about it. But
I think that there is a sect of the far right that wants a civil war.
Right.
Right.
That is, we know that for a fact now. That right. They want to take up arms against the federal government.
Yeah.
And then there are the rank and file conservatives who just don't like the idea of race mingling.
Yeah.
That are just kind of like casually racist. Like, I don't really trust black people.
If
and
Dave
I don't
and I
wanna...
sat down at a Waffle House somewhere, they might be like, so you two fellas,
are you
partially
Panama?
Yeah.
Haiti?
I think them boys are miscegenated.
And you'd be right. Yes. And then there's the people that just want low taxes. And then there is the top, like, echelon of the Republican Party that simply wants to continue being in power.
Yeah.
And they want to continue propagating the policies that allow them to remain in power and that allow them to make as much money as possible. But there's no ideological coherence or consistency there with those people, with that, you know, the bureaucratic class, the political class, the industrial class of the Republican Party.
Right. Well, let's talk about Donald Grump's tax returns. We got him, baby.
Got him, baby.
Millions of pages.
He's done.
Millions.
Now we got him.
Oh, gee whiz, mom. They got his tax returns.
Woo!
I mean, you know, the Supreme Court and many other courts had not been feeling the, like, Trump team's legal defense, which is essentially like, he's president. He can, like, what are you doing? Like, don't leave him alone. He's the fucking president. And now that the Supreme Court was like, no, we're not going to block anything. Like, Cy Vance's investigation and his subpoenas are valid. So now he has his hands on these documents. And this is what he has. Vance got Trump's tax returns extending from January 2011 to August 2019. But there's more. He also obtained access to reams of work papers surrounding the tax returns preparation, financial statements from the Trump Organization, engagement agreements, and other communications around the documents preparation. And so, you know, to Jack's point yesterday, this doesn't mean he gets his fucking wig torn off in public and we all get to pee on it. Like, you know, we think sometimes, like, we got him, y'all. It's just this time. It's just merely the beginnings of a very high profile financial fraud case. And the cynical part of me doing a little back of the napkin math says, well, based on his orange bang adjacent complexion, he may get off. But also, you know, unlike collusion or insurrection, sadly, insurrection was so right there in front of you. This may be a pretty straightforward case in that it's clear he's pulling all kinds of fucking tricks on his taxes that make Wesley Snipes look like some certified tax accountant.
Mm. Yeah. One thing that I was quoting this defense attorney who was like, this could be just another Mueller investigation where and the media is doing a lot of the same shit that they did with the Mueller investigation where they oversample prosecutors and, like, so it makes it seem like the case is open and shut. One difference, I think, is that there is obviously a motivation among, like, the majority of people to make something stick to this motherfucker. It's like you could compare it to the Capone, like, tax evasion case,
right,
where someone's just been getting away with crimes in public just out of sheer corruption. And the law is going to find a way to nail his ass to the wall one way or another.
Could you imagine, like, Capone, Trump is like the Tom Hardy movie?
Right.
Riddled with syphilis.
That would not surprise me.
Oh my God, sir.
The one difference between this case and the previous two, the Russia thing and the insurrection, is those two trials took place in the Senate.
Right.
Right.
The United States Senate, which is packed with people who have a political reason to acquit the man.
Right.
This is not that. This yeah. is different. This is like actual crime.
Yeah.
This is not a political theater trial.
Right.
This is not, you know, a bunch of grandstanding senators going up to a podium and making a bunch of rhetorical points that amount to nothing just to obstruct justice, or people voting strictly on party lines. This is a criminal trial could happen, that could take place. So I have hope that this is actually going to stick to this fucking guy. But you never know.
This isn't his only legal liability. I mean, there are sexual assault cases that he is still very likely to have to testify or at least give some kind of statement that he was trying to duck while he was president. So, I mean, there's a lot. And we talked about it when he was going out of office. Like, there are many things, but this seems to be the one that has the most momentum. And the other documents that he has, that Cy Vance has, seem to have like some information on the deliberations, like on how Trump's properties, like how they valued them, and, you know, to, you know, juice the numbers a bit to take a loss or, you know, whatever they got to do. And the other thing is the documents are going to help now potential witnesses be called, because they said they needed to see the documents to be able to be like, okay, now we know what we want to ask these people. But before, they just had ideas without the proper paper trail.
Right.
Whatever. We'll see.
And I mean, like, we know of crimes they've committed. Like, Ivanka Trump is, I think,
yeah, I mean,
on record as like lying about how many of like those apartments were filled. She was like, yeah, we're like 80%
Trump capacity. Soho?
You better get some of these. And it was like 10 apartments had been sold through, and it was like all to Trump family members or something. It's like, there's no doubt that there's shady shit going on. It's just, the other issue is that in most cases, white collar crime is wildly under prosecuted.
Yeah.
But it, like I was saying, hopefully this is a case where the motivation is there to hold white collar criminal.
Have this man crushed under the weight of the law books.
This isn't really adding anything new, but just, I don't know, to reiterate that they tried to overthrow the government knowingly. And, you know, anything they're saying otherwise is a cynical cover story that they know is a cynical cover story. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, she was out there claiming it was on January 6th and the day after, was claiming it was Antifa posing as Trump supporters. There was also that video of that dude who was like in his hotel room basically being like, we were all there. It was not Antifa. It was not BLM. It was Trump supporters that did that yesterday. I'm the first to admit it, being one myself. And he was like live streaming. He was right there when the woman was shot and killed. I walked amongst all those people, he added, basically saying like, give us credit for the awesome thing we just did. Well, now we're learning that that very person, that dude, is homies with Green. Like, they are super
allies.
Tight.
Like, they go to events together.
Green repeatedly calls Aguero amazing and a friend. And on social media, he called Green one of my closest friends before she became, like, before she was elected to office. Like, they go way back. They're tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's having a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because this is on top of all the fucking transphobic, homophobic shit she was saying in the House. Because, like, the GOP is like, okay, let's have her spearhead the fucking opposition to expanding the Civil Rights Act to include the LGBTQ community in terms of, you know, banning, you know, discrimination based on sex or gender identity. And it seems simple. Again, what is the problem here? I don't know who this hurts, but this is what this fucking scumbag decided to say. Quote, God created us male and female in his image. He created us. It's on the House floor. The Equality Act that we are to vote on this week destroys God's creation. It also completely annihilates women's rights and religious freedoms. It can be handled completely different to stop discrimination without destroying women's rights, little girls' rights in sports, and religious freedom, violating everything we hold dear in God's creation.
Yeah, this is, again, they're using terms that liberals would use about freedom and women's rights. Like, this is rhetorical poison.
Yes.
It is injecting poison into the discourse so that it renders everything else meaningless. Like, you can't argue with this person.
Yeah.
She's insane, but she's becoming a media superstar because there's no Trump anymore. So without Trump to be the figurehead for everything that sucks in the world, we have to get Marjorie Taylor Greene to come out here and say crazy shit every few days and then go back into her hobbit hole until we need her to spice up cable news again.
I think the best example, Dave, of what you're talking about, she put a sign on her office door that said there are two genders, male and female. Trust the science. So she's taking the idea of trusting the science and claiming that
it's like, but y'all don't, so just shut up. Like,
right.
and this is in the face of, you know, Representative Maureen Newman, who, you know, responded and spoke about her daughter and how her daughter would be discriminated and potentially excluded from getting benefits or any kind of help because she's trans. And then right. It was a back and forth because that poster about the two genders, it was like two moves before that. After Marie Newman spoke about her daughter, that's when shitface McFascist had to come back with, quote, as mothers, we all love and support our children, but your biological son does not belong in my daughter's bathrooms, locker rooms, and sports teams. This is, and then so Newman hung a trans flag to be like, and her office is across the hall from MTG, so that's why she put this other shit out. But there's so many lame myths in what she's talking about, like this idea that allowing trans athletes to participate hurts cisgendered women. That's not right. The case. Most cisgendered women are saying like, I don't have an issue where I think trans women are like creating a problem for me as a competitor. No.
Right.
This idea too, like if you're going to get on this whole idea of analyzing who is participating, that her idea that allowing trans women to participate hurts all women. No, this policing hurts all women because now you're assigning these too manly or masculine or too good to now, you know, cast aspersions on an athlete and then start policing their gender based on what, you know what I mean? Like it's inviting all this like bullshit in. And then on top of like, there's so many myths, especially like, because for now, it seems like sports is the current battleground for our society to have a reckoning with this like binary gender construct that we have. And this is where it's all like sort of coming to the forefront when really, you know, like there's a lot of things, like a lot of the things that critics of, when I say critics, fucking transphobic goons, say shit like, oh, well, testosterone. There's a lot of studies that show there isn't a lot of causal connection between performance and testosterone. Like, there's a lot of loose arguments about it, but nothing that's unequivocal. So this whole fucking campaign that they're all on is just, I don't know, like, it's just riddled with contradictions and lack of any kind of, you know, critical thought about what any of this is.
There doesn't even need to be an intellectual argument,
right?
In my opinion.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, I say this just as people.
Oh, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not complaining about what you're saying. I'm just like, the discourse is directed in the wrong place. The discourse says, let's have an intellectual conversation about whether or not trans women deserve to play women's sports, or should we even have sports that are separated by the genders? Like, don't worry about that. The point of this conversation is, do trans people deserve human rights? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
If you have empathy, if you care about other people, if you believe in freedom and equality, the answer is yes. There is nothing else to say. There is no intellectual conversation that is to be had. It is a purely emotional conversation.
Right.
It is a conversation about people and whether or not you care about other people.
I mean, and just like the idea that like a trans athlete is going to be like some... like the idea is some stealthy person who's not a trans person, but is trying to game the system because men are better than women or some shit. It's always like this weird idea you hear these people fucking talk about. And it's such bullshit.
Their version,
it's like that
of...
goddamn movie, Joanna Man.
No, right.
It's one of the
exactly.
most offensive bullshit movies. Right. And that idea of, oh, a guy who can't play sports is going to pretend to be a lady and he's going to be better at sports. Like that's so homophobic and sexist and disgusting.
The other thing, tell me if a high-performing athlete can, whose day-to-day life is filled with discrimination, vitriolic fucking hate-filled messages, a constant uncertainty about how the country views you as even human, that you that on top of all that, that's an edge over maybe a cisgendered athlete who doesn't have those considerations. Right. Or those kinds of obstacles to overcome societally. Like, there's just so, again, that's why, to your point, Dave, it's not about getting hung up on, like, well, what's the 100-meter time or whatever. No. The bill isn't about who can play sports. The bill is much larger than that. It speaks to a fundamental value that we need to have as people, which is all people are people until proven robot.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. And that's it.
It's a smart political strategy to use sports, because yeah, sports is a thing that conservatives get real fired up about.
Mm-hmm.
You could trace this all back to Kaepernick and how they used Kaepernick as a symbol of what they didn't like about the way we talk about race and the way we talk about policing and the way we talk about discrimination and racism.
Yeah.
And they used sports because sports is a thing that gets those people fired up. That gets me fired up. I love sports. We all love sports on this show. All three of us.
Yes.
Do. And so it's a passion that a lot of people share. But guess what, guys? As much as I love sports, it doesn't fucking matter compared to somebody else's rights. I don't give a shit about sports that much.
Right.
And the idea that it's just so, it's fucked up, because at the end of the day, it's almost like you're saying, do cults societally, do we want to turn up the heat and be more suspicious of everyone to benefit everyone?
Right.
That's not the vibe. That doesn't help anybody. If that's the tone, it's like, who's this? Who's that? What they got? That eventually, that will become worse and worse and worse. And it's not going to just be limited to one topic. That's because we're saying this is like the energy we want to give to something like this, when the energy should be like, you know, accepting that we're all people. And people say, well, that's too kumbaya or whatever. But being suspicious of everybody is not going to help anyone. I can guarantee you that.
It reflects an understanding of trans rights and the humanity of trans people based on like 80s movies in which a guy wears a wig to
go to a locker room.
Yeah, to go to a locker room. And
it's literally Joanna Man.
Yeah.
Like they saw that movie and thought it was a real life.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global.
When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And speaking of our love of sports, and also something that we were talking about before we started recording, trading cards.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys up on the Top Shot movement?
Oh yes.
What?
You haven't heard of Top Shot, Miles?
Oh, Miles. Get ready.
Oh no!
All right.
I'm in a group chat all about basketball, and Top Shot is the number one conversation.
Yeah,
point.
Me too. Yeah, so Top Shot is it's basically an NBA trading card style market where they create a limited number of NBA gifts that have like unique blockchain signatures. And because they have that unique signature and not because of anything to do with like the clip, really, they sell for a LeBron James dunk GIF sold for $208,000. The Top Shot market drove $45 million in sales in one day.
What? And I don't understand what you're saying.
So you know how blockchain is like a digital thing, but there's only one of them that has
I get that. But you're saying people are paying six figures for a GIF?
Yes. That's connected to a blockchain
that
signature.
You use what to do what with? How do you flex with it?
Like, I've seen the clip. I've watched the clip.
Then you might as well have the GIF.
What the right.
Fuck? It's not, you don't have the Cremaster Cycle video art piece where you have to own the tapes to see the art piece.
This is the first time Matthew Barney's come up on this show, I'm sure. Jeez.
Miles talks about the Cremaster Cycle all the time. But
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, I grew up in an art house, so we grew up talking shit about art. But yeah. Like, look, what I don't, oh God, see, this is why I don't know.
You're flummoxed.
Because I literally, you saw before we recorded, I pulled out my old dusty binder of 90s basketball cards.
That's what it's all about.
Right. So, but the value is to just say, I own this unique GIF.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. But it's not a unique GIF because I looked at the GIF.
Yeah, it's a
on
clip of
Twitter.
A, right.
It's a GIF that's connected to the blockchain. There's no value to it, but neither is there value to any cryptocurrency other than like its value as a signifier of wealth, like that, or a signifier of value. It's an attempt to create, the whole thing is an attempt to create sort of a physical materialist economy out of the digital world. It seems regressive to me, like, well, it seems regressive. It seems like kind of trying to go back to the, like, the people who are really passionate about trying to go back to the gold standard for a long time, and is just fighting the direction things were headed. Like, I don't know.
We're decentral. What are we decentralizing? You know what I mean? Because that's the argument for these other currencies, is like, we're trying to decentralize our banking or whatever. But in the end,
right,
they're really not being decentralized because they're traded on like three fucking exchanges. But like, what I'm, this is how old I am, is that I'm such an old person that it's not tangible. So I'm like, there is no value.
Right.
Right.
in a sporting, yes. and I think I'm looking at it in this sporting, like, sort of trading context of, like, what are you then? You're just trading files. But then I guess that also speaks to the fact that I'm at an age where I don't know that I can understand, for me personally, that I could see the value in that philosophically. Well, I guess
value is not inherent. Value is applied to things okay. based on whether or not lots of people share the same value on
right.
any given
right.
object. Trading cards is a great example. I have a box of unopened Skybox trading cards, Series 1 packs. There's value to them, but they're just pieces of paper with an image of an athlete.
Right,
right.
You could print out a picture of Michael Jordan.
You could print that exact picture out. The cards have always been bullshit.
Yeah. See, at least I could hug my sneakers that I love. I could hug right. my...
You can wear them.
Yeah.
They have a practical application
but,
in your life.
But there are people who just collect or whatever, and I still get that too. Like, you know, like, you're going to get it, and people don't understand sneaker collecting and things like that, but I understand. So now this is what the high-stakes world of six-figure gifts, and now I'm just terribly behind now.
It's a hype economy, and hype drives everything.
And it's not just
entertainment to this stuff.
It's not just gifts, though.
No, it's not just. Well, it is mostly gifts. In the art world, there's also for instance, Sarah June's Nyan Cat GIF sold for $580,000because it was like attached to a very specific blockchain signature. And so it's just, it's just people agreeing that this thing is going to have value. I'm curious, and maybe Zeitgang sleuths can look into how much of that money is Sarah June seeing for having created that GIF.
Yeah, right. Like,
probably zero.
We should just pull up to whoever owns that GIF and be like, yo, run your shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's also worth asking the question of how much money does LeBron James get for a Top Shot?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this? I assume it's officially licensed through the National Basketball Players Association. So there's probably some profit that these people make on the use of their likeness. Just like a slush fund of like, okay, you get this check for the fact that we put your face on this thing and this thing and that thing.
Right.
Right.
But it's probably not significant money.
Right. And
so it's just basically fancy ways to dress up your blockchain money.
Kind of. Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. You're like, yeah, I got my, you know, 208K in Bitcoin in a LeBron gold bar, basically a LeBron GIF gold bar, essentially.
Yeah, basically. And then you just have to hope that people still care about LeBron James dunking over.
Well, people care about how many
Giannis or something.
How much energy these motherfuckers use to fucking do all this Bitcoin mining and shit.
Yeah, that's one point that this article in Axios is pointing out, is that, like, especially the art world side of it, which is all on this specific exchange that I can't remember or probably even pronounce the name of, but it's like notorious for having one of the worst carbon footprints, because like the reason that blockchain is impossible to recreate, like at least part of it, is that you're having to like go through all these computing, like all this computing power and computing energy to like create one, right? So
right.
like it's they were comparing some of it to like what one of these things is the equivalent of driving 1,000 kilometers in a car. And one of the artists was like, yeah, that's cool, because the carbon equivalent of, like, that is the carbon equivalent of running my studio for a full year.
Jesus.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's like the other, I mean, it's so, the two sides of that. It's like, yeah, but also the carbon emissions off of making our GIF money is true to roof.
Okay. But keep in mind, there is Mars. We can always go to Mars.
Motherfucker, we're not getting there. I'll tell you that.
No, not our generation.
Nah, not us. Not people of our dollar denomination group.
We got to start working harder if we want our kids to be able to go to Mars.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll start selling these sexy blockchain gifts.
That's why you need to get into Top Shot. So you can save up to get your children.
Actually,
to Mars.
You can, if you're willing to sell your children off into indentured servitude, you can get
Mars. Right.
Yeah. So it just
pre-sell
on,
your child into indentured servitude for a life on Mars. That's going to be some real shit they're going to say in like 70 years.
Depends on how how serious you are about getting your paper up, man. That's all. That's what I gotta say.
Hey,
you gotta bump those numbers up, man. Those are rookie numbers.
If you really want to be like your idol, Magic Johnson, the businessman, I mean, you have to make some real moves then.
And speaking of the other side of a story, this story that kind of hit yesterday morning. All right, TMZ is reporting that two of Lady Gaga's three dogs were kidnapped, and her dog walker during the course of this armed robbery was shot four times. One of her dogs was, as Anna Hosnier said, was just like, "Not today, Satan," and just sprinted away, got away. So
oh,
shout
it's
out
gone?
To that. Yeah. No, they recovered there's a the, photograph recovered. Of her bodyguard walking back, found the dog, walking it back to the house. By the way, so Lady Gaga's in Rome working on a movie right now. So the fact that her bodyguard was photographed carrying the dog back suggests that that bodyguard's in LA looking after the dogs, essentially. And he managed to, you had one job, my man.
Yeah.
But so the one of the aspects of the story is Lady Gaga's offering $500,000, no questions asked, to whoever has her dogs, which is bananas because whoever has her dogs shot her dog walker four times.
Yeah. I want to say something here about this. It's not funny. I'm going to say that first.
Okay.
It's sad when people get shot.
Yeah.
But I am going to probably make a couple jokes okay. about it. So just bear with me, please. Anyway,
well, yeah.
they released an email address for you to send in tips on the whereabouts of the dogs. And I am just imagining all the dick pics somebody's going to have to comb through
yeah.
before they get to even one real clue about the whereabouts
That's
of
so
poor
weird.
Dogs.
I mean, yeah, like, it's so weird that, first of all, like, Lady Gaga would, like, Democrat-style negotiating, hey, money and no questions asked if you
just bring me
kind of work with us here, back. Even though you almost killed us.
So appropriate yeah. that she sang the national anthem for the Biden administration.
Like, hold on, what about $500,000 to find out who shot her fucking dog walker? You know yep. what I mean? That's
that
like
person's
so,
in the hospital. Their life has changed
oh
forever.
Oh, my God.
But she's just going to be like, okay, how much do you need for me to get those French bulldogs back?
I mean,
because I can't live without Muffy and Scruff Scruff.
I'm not fully blaming her because she's just trying to get her dogs back, right? The dogs are something
so
that
my dogs
she loves.
Back. Yeah.
And it's not going to change anything necessarily. Like, she could still be like, find this motherfucker and prosecute them. But the fact that TMZ is just like, guys, no questions asked. It's all good. Like, nobody's even, or she's not even thinking about like the idea that she's devaluing the life of her dog walker. And also the way that this just feels like the American version of, you know, like oligarchies and dictatorships and other countries where people are kidnapped all the time, like that you have to like constantly be thinking about the fact that, you know, people are going to kidnap you because
right.
there's massive wealth
inequality.
Like, this is the American version of that. And the thing that everybody's reporting without even being like, wait, what, is that she's just like, yeah, okay, so that's done with. Now just give me my dogs back, please. I don't know. It just
yeah.
feels very American to me right now.
Yeah, it's like yeah. like how people treat essential workers or companies that treat
yeah,
essential
exactly.
workers. You know what I mean? It's,
this person could have died.
Right.
They were shot four times, and all she wants is her dogs back, it seems like. I mean, to be fair to Lady Gaga, to Stephanie,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what she's doing for the dog walker.
Right.
Yeah, no, we
all
don't.
All we know is the information that's out there.
Sure, we'll find out, though.
Right.
I hope that she's taking care of this person.
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
But it's just like, it's, come on. The police need to arrest this person for shooting another
the
human being
is,
on the street.
Why? You have, like, to Jack's point, right? Like, the idea that bodyguards were even adjacent... And this person still got shot?
It's an inside job, guys. That's what it is.
Thank you.
I'm going crazy.
There we go. Shawshank Redemption. Had to throw the lob up. Just need someone to throw it down.
Reddit is losing their minds.
But like, what? But then also, it's like, how are you managing? Like, I get it. When you're so fucking popping and wealthy that you can't even do normal things. But like, wouldn't you want to be like, yo, my dogs are so important. We don't even fuck around, man. I bought this forest. You can walk them around in. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm guessing because she doesn't live in West Hollywood. I'm guessing that's where the dog walker lives. So she trusts the dog walker enough to take the dogs. But then there's a security presence near the dog. It just seems so convoluted. I'm trying to understand, like, if this is the most efficient way to ensure the safety of your animals, given the budgets Stephanie has.
Probably not. I mean, this goes back to the Top Shot question. How do we value things?
Right.
We value a blockchain on a video or a GIF. We also value French bulldogs. They are some of the
people
most expensive
Frenchies,
dogs in the country, probably in the world. Very hard to get, very hard to take care of, all of that stuff. So someone thought, I'm going to go out and shoot a motherfucker four times to take the dogs. I don't want the jewelry. I don't want the car. I don't want the clothes. I don't want the Grammys or the Oscar. I want the
dogs. This
doesn't
make sense. Why are you getting...
That's so crazy to me that the dogs are valuable.
They just saw the movie.
The dogs are worth shooting a person.
How does someone get clapped over dogs?
They just saw the movie.
Is it because they know?
Psychopaths, and they were like, all right, this seems like a good plan, even though the... criminals in that are like
no, but in the
dumb
mind of a person who's doing dirt, you don't want to discharge a firearm in the commission of a crime,
right?
Just you don't want to put force multipliers on your sentencing if something were to happen. So right. Like it doesn't seem like, do you need to shoot somebody to strong arm snatch some dogs away? That's
maybe
it gets
was
weird.
An inside
I know,
job.
Like that's I don't know what's going. Like it seems there's so many levels that just seem like aggressive, or that the person knows that these are Lady Gaga's dogs, so they got to come heavy, and then they're gonna then demand another wilder ransom.
Oh, they definitely knew that it was Lady Gaga's dogs. This was planned out for sure.
Everything's
so confusing, man.
I hate to be the conspiracy theory person in a time when conspiracy theories are so horribly dangerous.
Right. Yeah.
But it's very
shit went left on that inside job.
Yeah.
You know, because you know what the bodyguard said? He said, you're supposed to stick to the script, man. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Shooting somebody four times, though. Maybe shooting somebody four times is the way that it makes it look like it was more of a real crime.
The dog walker is OK. Like
dog
the dog walker
is
stable.
Okay, yeah. Expected to fully recover. So might have been. I don't know. Dave
might
be
on something. I'm so infuriated. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, exactly. Because part of me is like, the crime is sloppy, the security is sloppy, the
shot four times where exactly?
Dave is lowering
right
his glasses,
butt, yeah, right through the back of the hamstring with a 22, right through the hamstring, bing, bing, bing.
Well, Dave, it has been a pleasure as always having you, seeing you, looking great, my man. Where can people find you and follow you?
I am on Twitter at Dave_Schilling. And I want to plug the YouTube Black History Month special, Black Renaissance. I was an executive producer on that, and it is out today.
Dope.
We have some amazing talent involved in this show. Jesus and Mero, Z-Way, both Obamas, Sasha and Malia. Just kidding. Barack and Michelle. I gotcha. Malia's too busy working with Donald Glover.
Yeah, anyway. Right.
Who else? Anderson .Paak musical performance. If you like Anderson .Paak, he's in this.
Damn.
It's incredible. It's streaming right now. You can watch it. You can skip to my credit at the end of the show, or you can actually watch it.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Give me a timestamp for your credit.
It's 1 hour and 39
Or, you know, do the thing on
minutes.
YouTube where you scroll the player and then you say share at this point and then text me.
I'm gonna when I disseminate the link on Friday, it's going to be shared.
Right,
that
exactly.
Point.
Everyone that starts it, they watch it immediately. Executive
description. That is the flex
there
of
you
the
go.
Century.
Forget all the great content before that.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, boy. Well, I already shouted out Rachel Tashjian from GQ, so I'm not going to shout out anything else, but her Twitter is great. She's very funny, impeccable sense of style, and you should subscribe to her Opulent Tips newsletter.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, and even on Twitch. You can find us there, you know, doing our things over there. A tip or a tweet that I like.
Or a tip. Tips are good.
No. And actually, this is perfect because it's coming from our very own Dave Schilling, and it's starting to make sense to me. He said, Dave tweeted, Michael Jordan once said, Republicans buy Top Shot 2. That's important to know.
I was thinking of that to do that joke on the show, and we went right past that. So I was like, I'm going to tweet this. I got to get this heat out
there.
Got to get it on the streets.
Yes, thank you.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A few tweets I've been enjoying. Andy Richter tweeted, I often think of some people I knew in my youth who all exhibited a similar quality that I now recognize as cocaine. John Drake tweeted, if I was a real estate agent, I would just say, and this space would make a fantastic dojo in every room of the house. And while we're on the subject of dogs, Andrew Nadeau tweeted, I relate to dogs because I am also trying to eat enough chocolate to kill me. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that Miles thinks you should listen to.
You should,
Miles,
listen to it.
What is today's recommendation?
Oh, man. So, yesterday, I just, I love Denzel Curry. Florida's very own. And yes. I come upon this remix with him, Smino, and Robert Glasper called So Incredible. It's the remix to So Incredible off what's the album called, Dan, again? Unlocked, yes.
Unlocked.
From the Unlocked album. Thank you, DJ Daniel. From the Unlocked album, which is great. It's him and Kenny Beats, and the visual aspect is dope too. But this remix is really dope with Robert Glasper, and Denzel Curry. That wasn't not a duo I would have thought I would have had on my musical bingo card, but it's fantastic.
All right. Go check that song out wherever you listen to fine music. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.